The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Always a great joy to be with you here this morning. You know, I've been living here in Berkeley for over a year. I moved here last May, and as some of you may know, I come from New York City. Specifically, I come from the Diocese of Brooklyn, and in Brooklyn, there are two boroughs that make up the diocese, and one is, of course, Brooklyn, and the other one is Queens. And Queens is home of the New York Mets. That's where their stadium is located. And also, not too far away, if you cross over a bridge and go into a different diocese, to the Archdiocese of New York, you go to the Bronx, and you have another baseball team there, the New York Yankees. And as you can imagine, pretty much everyone you meet in New York is either a Mets fan or a Yankees fan, right? Now, I get to play neutral in this whole thing because I actually came from Philadelphia, so I'm not really either a New York Yankees fan or a Mets fan. So I get to just kind of see all this kind of unfold, so to speak, as to who follows who. And of course, being here now in Berkeley, I've also picked up that, well, there are Oakland A's fans, right? And then there's San Francisco Giants fans, right? And so clearly another place of, I guess you would say, loyalties, you know, split loyalties, divisions, so to speak, right? And I'm also just kind of caught up in the whole fact that, you know, for us as Americans, I guess if we're going to call ourselves that, we have a kind of a go-to outlet when it comes to baseball. I can't tell you how many baseball games I've been to throughout my life, but it's been quite a few. And here's the funniest thing about that. I'm not even a baseball fan. And I've been to so many different games, right? And I'm sure many of you could also relate to this as well, that when you're asked to maybe go to a game, you're maybe not even sure who's playing or what's going on, but you go because you like the company of who you're going to be going with. I find that it's been one of those types of things, America's pastime, that allows lots of people to come together for a very nice afternoon or evening to be able to enjoy something together, even if we don't know specifically what's going on. And I was reminded of this just a couple weeks ago because there were a bunch of international students I was in class with here in Berkeley, and one of the American students suggested, "Let's all go to a Giants game." Now, of course, most of these students had no clue anything about baseball because they were not from the United States, but they all had a great time at the game. right? Now, why do I bring all this up on this feast of Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of our Lord? It's because of the magnitude of what it is that we celebrate can be somewhat related in a very, very limited way by what takes place in the context of American baseball game. What do I mean by that? Well, as you know, when you go to a baseball park, there's lots of stuff going on, right? Of course, there's all those TV screens everywhere showing all the different stuff going on between every inning. There's like some type of game that they're showing up on the screen for people to enjoy. There's tons of things to eat and drink. There's just lots of, you know, social activity taking place. And oh yeah, by the way, there's a game taking place on the field as well, right? And the whole thing would not work if it wasn't for one thing. The whole operation would not work if it wasn't for one thing. This whole social gathering, all the food, all the drinking, the actual players on the field, none of it would happen if it wasn't for one thing. What's that? Does anyone know? The baseball, right? If you don't have the baseball, nothing could happen, right? You wouldn't have a whole event, right? The most insignificant thing that we would think actually plays the most significant part in allowing this entire thing to happen, right? This social gathering, all these other kind of parallel games and activities happening, all the food, the drinking, the players on the field, all the strategy, the skill, the coaching, all that stuff would not be able to happen if it wasn't for this little round white ball. And I think you can see where I'm going today and how this relates to the great feast that we celebrate. I think it's very important for us to think about today that we don't celebrate a feast of the Eucharist per se. We celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. And that's actually far more encompassing than I think we can think of the Eucharist. Because we could have a tendency to highly localize the Eucharist to just what we are doing here in this hour in this church. Just like we could, in a certain sense, just focus solely on the baseball, but not realize that it's ultimately responsible for everything else. The Eucharist, the body of Christ here that we receive, is what gives us the understanding of the body of Christ that we all participate in as church. But even more so, we participate in the body of Christ with every single person. Yet even more so, we participate in the body of Christ in every aspect of creation. As God has given us life itself, God renews life itself through the Eucharist, which then enables us to gaze upon all of the world with a new set of eyes, with a new set of ears, and most importantly, with a new heart that yearns for more and more communion. I've been so taken by this in my prayer, and I guess just basically in my spiritual journey, that it's hard for me not to participate in what the Eucharist offers at pretty much every moment of my life. Because whenever I try to let go of my personal pride, my ego, my narcissism, I'm able to enter into communion with God himself through the experience of the other, through the experience of creation. I often talk to people who ask me, how am I enjoying California? People from the East Coast, because everyone on the East Coast doesn't think anything else in the world exists other than the East Coast. And I say, you know, I love being out in California because I'm able to just delve into a new contemplative space. Yeah, I mean, the people are, I guess you want to say, different than the East Coast. But the whole ethos of creation, nature, from the cliffs to the ocean to the redwood forests to just the beautiful rose gardens here in Berkeley Hills, all of it just to me reveals this multifaceted presence of God in our midst. And all of that is participating in the body of Christ. So today, we think about how present are we to the real presence? How present are we to the real presence? Because it's not just about being present to the real presence that comes to us in the Eucharist. It's about being present to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is everything. There's a great wisdom that the church has given us in celebrating this feast after Pentecost, after the celebration of the Holy Trinity, which we celebrate last Sunday, because this feast reveals to us the Trinity in our midst. It reveals to us how everything is interrelated, how the body functions. When we gaze upon another, we gaze upon the presence of Christ. And just as the presence of Christ could be considered hidden in what appears to be bread and wine on this altar, the presence of Christ is hidden in our brothers and sisters in our midst, is hidden in all of creation. And how is it hidden, especially in our brothers and sisters? Well, it's hidden by our weaknesses and our sins and our failings. How can the presence of God exist in broken people? It can only exist because of the Eucharist, which is broken for us. The Eucharist heals our brokenness by Jesus himself becoming broken with us, entering into our pain, entering into our sorrows, entering into our limitations. We don't believe in a distant God. We don't believe in a Superman God. We don't believe in a God who just is so out there that we have to kind of just mercifully just pray ourselves to try to get his approval. We believe in a God who becomes broken for us so he can enter into communion with our brokenness. And only in that way can true healing start to take place. So as you approach the altar this day, be proud in a certain sense of your brokenness, because it's in that very heart of you that's broken that you will be able to encounter the broken Christ. And in turn, you'll be able to empathize with the brokenness of others around you. And then all of us can become a means of Christ's healing. And perhaps all of us may also be able to go and enjoy a baseball game with each other at some point as well. May God bless you all this day. May we be strengthened this day through the body of Christ. Amen.